The gospel we just heard is the first of four controversies that the enemies of our Lord will use to discredit our Lord and to hurt his reputation. Before they will kill his body, they are attempting to kill his spirit, his soul. And this is how it all begins in Matthew chapter 22, verse 15 precisely. The Pharisees went off and plotted how they might entrap Jesus. That word entrap, in Greek, Matthew uses the word pagyuvevo. It's the only time that word is used in the entire New Testament. Pagyuvevo. It's a verb to describe the act of snaring an animal in a hunt. It's a very graphic verb. It's a very cruel verb. You could read it that the Pharisees are plotting how they may snare our Lord like an animal, as if in a hunt. And worse, they are joining the Herodians to do it. The Pharisees and the Herodians are political enemies. They've never been united in anything. And now they are united as one. This is a setup. What we're looking at here is the dirty business of mixing religion with political positions. Have you ever heard of that happening? Ever heard of that? So as we work through the 22nd chapter of Matthew, we're going to hear the controversy they'll bring before him of the seven brothers who marry the same woman. Remember, whose wife will she be after the resurrection? There will be the question, the controversy of the greatest commandment. Which commandment is the greatest? And then we'll have the controversy as well of David's son. But today we have the most highly controversial controversy, and that's paying taxes. Should they pay the tax to Rome? So here you are, coming to church, and even here now, we have to talk about taxes. In our country, our IRS has been in business since 1862. And the IRS receives a lot of letters. Maybe you've written the IRS. A lot of the letters are anonymous. Here's my all-time favorite anonymous letter to the IRS. It read like this. Dear IRS, my conscience is bothering me. Enclosed is $10,000 cash, which I know I owe in back taxes. P.S. If my conscience still bothers me, I'll send you the rest. But taxes during the time of our Lord were more complicated. Remember, during the time of Jesus, Palestine was occupied by Rome. And they had to pay a census tax to fund that occupation. And it needed to be paid using a Roman coin. So they had to pay to exchange their money and then pay the tax. Imagine Canada occupying and ruling North Dakota. And we had to pay an annual tax to fund that occupation. And we had to pay it using Canadian money. What would our mood be like? So this is the question brought before our Lord. If he says yes, he's going to lose his followers because he'll be siding with Rome. If he says no, he could be referred to Rome on charges, perhaps as serious as treason. So to cut through it all, he says, show me the money. "Show me the coin." And this is the coin that they gave our Lord. This is the front, and this is the back. And one of them pulls out this coin. Now, first of all, when he says, "Show me the money," he's revealing he doesn't have this Roman coin. In fact, a faithful Jew could not carry that Roman coin because it had on it the graven image of Caesar. Here's a close-up of that image. This coin is from the time of our Lord's birth. So he is showing them, first of all, that they are not faithful Jews. They're carrying this coin. But he's also showing that they are already cooperating with Rome. They're kind of bent out of shape about paying the Roman tax. Here they're ready to do it. The Pharisee that orchestrated this so-called entrapment needs to be fired. You have to empty your pockets if you're going to try this. He asks them whose image that is. They say, "The emperor." And Jesus tells them to give it back, because technically, the Roman emperor owns this coin. So give Caesar his one coin back, and everything else belongs to God. That's the term, give to Caesar what belongs to him, because he owns that, but repay to God what belongs to God. This gospel is not so much about a political statement of paying taxes. This gospel is not so much about a promotion of the separation of church and state. This gospel could be said to remind us that our citizenship is ultimately in heaven. Repay to God what belongs to God. And St. Paul wrote in his letters, our citizenship is in heaven. I know we're getting tired of pandemic news. I know we're getting tired of political news. I love following politics, but we sometimes have to turn it off and just remember that we are citizens here, but our citizenship is ultimately in heaven. I'm finding myself, while I cook, even while I just sit in my chair, listening to the Easy Listening channel. Remember that? It's the elevator music, channel 948. I'm starting to do exactly what my dad does. When I turn on this channel and listen to the elevator music, it's like I'm reminding myself, pull back, my citizenship is ultimately in heaven. And then I'm reminded that we repay to God what belongs to God. We remember what we just heard in Isaiah, read very well, I am the Lord, there is no other. When I was teaching high school, one of my students asked me, what's this going to cost, Father, to repay God what belongs to God? How do we do that? How can we possibly do that in this life? And my answer, of course, was to refer back to the gift of the church. This is why our Lord gave us the church. This is why we have this parish. This is why we need to be engaged in the life of this parish, so that at the end of our life, we can have a resounding yes. I have repaid what God deserves. This week, our parish report, the state of our parish report, is going to start hitting your homes. Don't confuse it with a political advertisement, okay? It's our state of the parish report. And I'm very impressed with how this is done. And I was very happy to have a part of it. In this report coming to you, in my article, I'm reminding all of us to remain engaged, to live this gospel, especially through these days. The article that you will receive, emphatically, I am begging you, to remain engaged. I said, remain engaged with your family, your friends, and your community. This is not a time when we become isolated. We cannot become isolated during these days. I said, remain engaged above all in your relationship with Christ and your participation right here. Remaining engaged will keep us grounded and inspired and give us hope. We need to remain engaged. I'm going to tell you all right now. The Sunday obligation to attend Mass here will not be reinstated for the foreseeable future. This is how we're going to live our lives for a while yet. Many of you are here. Many of you are online. And I'm glad, by the way, many of you are here. There is nothing more depressing I did in my 27 years as a priest than to offer Mass through April with nobody in the church. It's the most depressing, saddest thing a priest can do. I know we cannot all be here, but I appreciate all of you who are. We work to keep your environment safe for you here, but we need to remain engaged. This report will outline our worship, it will outline our formation activities, it will outline how my staff is working, it will outline our financial contributions. I met with my finance council on Thursday. Again, we meet every month. And it was surprising to me to realize that one of the best months we had last fiscal year was when the doors were locked here, when nobody was here. You gave extraordinarily, charitably, knowing our situation. And I ask that you continue that. Whether you're here or online, remain engaged in all facets of this parish life. This report will remind you how we have and how we've done it well. And when we continue to remain engaged, we will continue to live today's gospel. We will continue to repay God what belongs to God. Amen.